mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I remember a few weeks ago being pleasantly surprised by an article that was in the Village Voice. It was titled "Fakes on a Plane" back on August 7th. Conspiracy buffs craft their own online WTC movies. And he then chronicles, the author, Ed Halter, who's here in town for the Big Book Festival, he then chronicles quite a few of the successful films that have come out concerning 9/11, and talks about how some of these, like Loose Change Second Edition, really are some of the, well, really the first underground internet, what you could call blockbusters. And this totally shifts the paradigm where Hollywood spends, in some cases, hundreds of millions of dollars just to get 10, 15 million people globally to come see a movie. And when a couple of 23-year-old young men get together, they can get, 20 million downloads. That's about what it is now for Loose Change Second Edition. Already, Terror Storm has been downloaded several million times. I went around earlier this week to some of the places where you could see how many times it had been downloaded. Dozens and dozens and dozens of sites where it had been downloaded over 150,000, 200,000 times. Added together, it was well over 2 million. And I just spent a few hours looking up the numbers. So it's really getting exciting, and this is challenging the dominant controlled press. But one mainline media outlet that has always been very courageous, in my opinion, is the Village Voice. I remember 2 weeks after 9/11, they were reporting about the EPA dust cover-up, and now that's mainstream news. So, Ed Halter, it's good to have you in studio with us.
It's great to be here, Alex. This is great.
You bet, sir. I really appreciate you spending time with us. We're going to break here in just about a minute or so. We'll come back and recap everything. But in a nutshell, tell us about Ed Halter and why you wrote one of the fairest pieces. The other one I saw in Vanity Fair was very fair, and I found out why. She's a 9/11 truther. Her husband is Frank Morales, big 9/11 New York activist, and Episcopal preacher, by the way, helps the homeless. So no wonder that was the fairest I ever saw, but yours was the next fairest. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah. Well, I primarily write about film, but I also write about video games and other kind of technology. And what I was interested in is, obviously, this thing came out when Oliver Stone's movie was about to come out. So this kind of, in our paper, tied in with that as a news story. But I started doing some research. I heard about Dylan Avery's piece by reading the Vanity Fair piece. And I started doing some research of my own, and I thought, yeah, I didn't know anything about this, and this is a huge world. This is a huge community of filmmakers that are making this stuff, getting it out there to millions of people. And I've always been interested in the way in which technology changes the way filmmaking works and what it can do. I had written another piece for The Voice when Fahrenheit 9/11 came out, and I was fascinated at that time the way in which political activism was becoming melded with movie marketing. All right. That looks like peanuts compared to this. I mean, because while in that model, with Fahrenheit 9/11, they were trying to have political impact through the marketing of a commercial film, obviously, in retrospect, they're inhibited by the fact they're still trying to make money with the movie, you know? In this case, when you're trying to get out your documentaries, when Dylan Avery's trying to get out his documentaries, it's no holds barred. You just want to get the work out there, and that's driving you, and it's driving the technology and the filmmaking forward, and that's what's interesting to me.
Well, it's an excellent piece. I mean, most of these 9/11 pieces are so boring, I don't even finish reading them. A lot of good insight and an excellent article. I want to kind of walk through some of the story when we get back, if you'd humor me. And then I want to talk about this book that you've written, From Sun Tzu to Xbox, War and Video Games. And I haven't read the book yet, but I read the synopsis of it. And I really agree with what you're saying in it. So I want to, kind of get into how video games are being used to basically mind control the public with this instinctive shooting and the rest of it. With our guest who is here for the Texas Book Festival, and you can come out and see him and get a copy of his book and shake his hand coming up this weekend. So we'll talk about that as well and have open phones. So stay with us.
It's here at
After a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network. I have an urgent message for all of our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world, quote unquote. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. debt bubble, red alert, and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 888-8-XANADU. And ask for George.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, Paula, Steve, Clinton, David, Rick, and many others. We will go to your phone calls coming up here in later in this segment. A great article by Ed Halter. He writes for The Village Voice, one of the better mainstream publications in the country. And he wrote a great story called Fakes on a Plane. Just type Fakes on a Plane into Google, and you shouldn't have any problem finding it. We have links to it up on InfoWars.com right now. The subheadline is Conspiracy Buffs Craft Their Own Online WTC Movies. Ed, why don't you just kind of recap and expand on what you were just talking about concerning the emergence of the Internet blockbuster political movie, of course, that centers around 9/11. And a real drive out there of people who are hungry for this. I don't want to even call it a market. It's just this really is, I think, bigger than the Gutenberg press. Well, we know it is, and the number of people it's reaching. But I think Internet movies, not just Internet text reports and blogs, is going to have a greater political effect overall in a quicker time frame than what we saw with the Gutenberg press. So first off, do you agree with that? And secondarily, will you expand on your view on this?
Sure. I do agree with that. But I think what happens with the Internet is you get some interesting effects in the way in which it distributes information. I did another piece kind of related to this, in my mind, on the Mormon independent film industry. Most people don't realize that the Mormons are building their own independent film industry to make films that are about them, for them. They have their own distribution things and everything. What I'm interested in is the way in which technology allows these pockets of people to communicate with one another in ways they weren't able to before. So, for example, the people that follow your show, before you were able to get this out on the internet, you might have had a local, I don't know the history, but you might have had a local following in Austin. There may have been people in pockets around the country that couldn't hear you. Now it's this, you know, this huge network. That's fascinating to me, because I think that that kind of means that more and more political beliefs that might have been on the fringe before are able to pick up more steam because they can pick up more more people kind of in the network. And that seems to be what's happening with these movies.
But the mainstream media, they've still got the dominant market share, but they're losing their credibility, and I think that's because they're lying, twisting, spinning, having to toe the line for corporate owners, whereas the, quote, pockets or fringe were really telling the truth all along. And I think it's now a battle of ideas. There's a lot of other fringe stuff out there, but it doesn't become popular because it's not based in reality.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the other thing, is that the mainstream media is definitely losing eyeballs. I mean, even in something like The Voice, which most people wouldn't think of as mainstream, still is afraid sometimes of how it's going to get onto the internet versus being a print publication, you know? So, you look at, for example, with video games and the internet, you look at demographics with young men, you know, up to age 30. A huge proportion of them now don't even watch television. They play video games, they go online, you know? So that gives you a
hope. I don't watch television unless I'm like sick or something.
Yeah, but I mean, or your own show, of course.
I don't even watch that. It's horrible. Anyways,
it gives you a whole different perspective on what kind of information, and it really involves now kind of seeking out the information you want, and that's what's interesting to me. But on the other hand, the downside of it is that you can miss it. Like, for example, I honestly never heard of this stuff before I picked up that story about Dylan Avery, and it's huge, and I kind of stumbled onto it, and I thought, my God, how did I miss this before? It's enormous. So that's the downside of this kind of internet communications.
Well, that's what CNN said a few months ago. They said, my gosh, we used to all drink out of the same cultural fountain. We were cut from the same cloth. Whether we were black or white, we saw the same movies. But now it's just everything's niches and fractures of fractures. But, I think that actually brings more freedom and more choice than the old thing of three or four flavors, you know, of the same thing. And it is hurting the establishment more than it's hurting the alternative media.
Yeah. The trick is, though, is how to know what those choices are. That seems to me to be the trick. And, I mean, obviously, what you believe in here, you're really working hard to get that out there in as many ways as possible, which I think is one strategy for sure, where you have, websites and movies and all that kind of stuff. That definitely is one way to do it, is to kind of go multi-platform. But you see this happening with all types of groups. I mean, groups that we wouldn't like as well. I mean, if you follow hate groups online, some of the ways in which they're structuring their strategies, like neo-Nazi groups and so on, is not dissimilar to what you're doing. It's because the technology, allows that. If you look at people on the, far-right Republicans, pro-choice people, any kind of driven group,
I won't even use that establishment term, because they can call them hate, which is really too weak of a term, and then the media can then use the word hate on somebody like me. I'm a hater. I'm saying the government did 9/11. When you talk about the toothless, neo-Nazi groups and people are online, I actually go look at their numbers. And, they're reaching more than they ever reached before, but they're still very small on the Internet. Yeah. I mean, the ADL likes to hype it all up like they're real big for fundraising drives, but believe me, I mean, it is not as big as the media likes to hype at this army of blood-drinking skinheads that are going to kill us all any minute. But certainly they are reaching more people now because of the Internet. I just don't want the media and the government to use that as an excuse to try to stifle speech on the web in the name of stopping, Johnny Klansman.
No, I totally agree with you on that. And, I'm not really necessarily even talking numbers. I'm more talking strategies.
No, I understand you're talking about the paradigm and the way they're using it.
Exactly.
Well, what do you think the mainstream media is going to do? I mean, they're definitely trying to, I know in their board meetings, I know in their public strategy papers they put out, where the company's going in the next year, they're all saying we've got to go mainstream, internet. We've got to try to break down into different niche markets to try to serve everybody. We've got to try to get this look. But you cannot get that look. People know what's real and organic, and they know what's fake.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the entertainment industry especially is pretty much freaking out about it, because they don't really know what the revenue model is going to be for them in the next 10 years. especially the film industry. I mean, the music,
it's not going to be good, I can tell you that.
Well, the music industry is trying to adapt through selling individual songs, for example, right now, and that seems to be working for some people now. But again, it gets you back to the same question of how do you know what your choices are? How do you find out about those choices? And some of the ways you find out about it ends up being grassroots things like what you're doing. I mean, not exactly what you're doing because you're not selling music, but I mean the parallel of what you're doing in, say, the music community, you know?
Well, I remember being interviewed by newspaper reporters 10, 12 years ago, and some of them were nice like yourself. Others were very arrogant. But imagine the arrogance, not just of a newspaper reporter who's got this monopoly and nobody else has a voice. Imagine the arrogance of Hollywood producers and TV producers. Now a lot of their hubris is evaporating, and now they are horrified because they realize that there is just a total shift that is taking place that's going to make them as obsolete as you know, the horse and buggy when the Model T finally came out.
Yeah, they don't know how to. It's like they're waiting for the dam to break with some of this stuff. Especially when more and more people, I mean, as personal computers become more and more powerful, they come more and more easily to transfer files, to save whole movies, to exchange them, like, you know, what you guys are doing right now with Google Video. But it's going to be that much easier for even higher image quality movies. Because, I mean, your films are look really good, but they're not, you know, film quality images, right? But very soon, people will be able to do that.
And very soon, what am I going to do, though? It's not just the big, dominant media. I need to be able to pay my employees and operate.
Exactly.
So I go ahead and upload my new video to Google Video because I don't care. But I had the money to make that film because I had sold videos in the past.
Right.
And pretty soon, by the time I sell one copy of a film, someone can get it and upload it, and it's going to be so crystal clear on the web that then no one will even need to buy the DVD from me. And I thought about that. The answer will be is we'll take pre-orders for 2 months. There will be the initial sale. They'll all be collector's items and $100 a piece on the bubble chip or whatever it is. And then that's it.
Right.
You know, 500 are sold, and that's the end of it, and they're $500 a piece or whatever. And then I guess people then are endowers of the film, or maybe people come and fund you with filmmakers. You know, they all come give you their endowment of $500, maybe 500 people, and then they all get their name in the credits.
Right. I mean, why you're able to do that is because you are here with a mission, and your mission is before making money. You make money to spread the mission.
Exactly. You know? That's what I get off on, yeah.
Right. Whereas in Hollywood, that's not what they're... I mean, they're there to make the money. The money is the mission. So for them, you know, it's they're looking...
They're terrified.
Exactly. They don't know what... They're totally confused as to what's going to happen.
But I'm saying even... This is even going to affect me being able to do my mission.
It's already... In the music industry, it's already affecting small labels, like, that used to be able to make money off of selling CDs to a certain point. You know, they're feeling it as well. So the parallels that are happening in the music industry will be affecting the film industry next.
Well, I think the answer is education of the public. Even if you can get something for free, if you respect the artist or the researcher or the filmmaker or the writer, you need to pay for it at least once, folks. And that's what I do. I mean, I can go out and find music for my MP3 player, for my iPod, but I still go buy it. And, you know, sometimes I lose an iPod or it breaks or... You know, I just go buy it again. I mean, it's cheap, and if you do not support, especially if it's small labels, I mean, obviously, if you like something like Aerosmith, they made plenty of money, folks. Don't worry about it. But, I mean, if it's some, you know, label that's out there struggling, you're not going to hear music from them anymore if you don't support them.
Yeah.
But
and a lot of people think this way, and the very fact that we even think like this is an effect of what's happening. I mean, 35 years ago, who would even think about the ethics of what they bought in that sense? But now so many people think that, like, I want to shop at a small bookstore instead of Barnes & Noble.
Yeah,
I want to go to a small movie theater versus a chain. I mean, we all make these decisions now because of what's happening, you know?
Well, that's exciting, too, because take, like, Alamo Drafthouse, really successful chain sprouted up in Texas, and I know, you know, another guy that started it, and they just wanted to have a mom-and-pop show in art house films. And they're making money hand over fist, and the other theaters are going out of business.
Yeah. Now, one of the problems, though, is that with, I mean, to get back to the fakes in the plane article, one of the issues with the kind of freedom of being able to put everything out there.
You can put a lot of crap out.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about that when we get back, and then we'll go to your calls. We're going to talk about that after the break, and we will go to Paula, Steve, Clinton, David, and the many, many others that are patiently holding 1-800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And we will come back and talk about some of the disinfo that is out there Please stay with us. Our guest is Ed Halter. He writes for the Village Voice, and we're going to talk about his new book, too. Stay with us.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that the Lenin School of Political Warfare has laid down a plan for a third world war that will destroy both Christianity and communism at the same time? From the rubbles of this war, the Illuminati will establish their world government prophesied in Revelation chapter 13. Communism said they would pretend to collapse, and when America had begun to disarm, the combined communist world would launch a surprise attack and smash us with their clenched fists. We'd like to show you how these things are coming to pass by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 to request your subscription. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
You know, I really wish I could just power my place with solar. That's what I was saying to myself over and over again for years until I found out about Ken Solar. Ken has been working with solar power for over a decade and has designed systems for people all over the world. He's put together customized alternative energy packages for everything from powering the local supermarket all the way down to portable solar power generators. On-grid, off-grid, big systems, or tiny systems, Ken has the proven experience to design a tailored alternative energy system that's just right for you and your budget. He'll also show you how a system can pay for itself in the first month. So if you're looking for solar, check out Ken Solar. Tell Ken you heard about him on GCN, and he'll give you an additional 10% off your order. Just point your browser at kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Calls are coming up. Ed Halter is our guest. Okay, Ed. Yeah, your article did get into kind of the infighting, too, of people saying, this person's got to be disinfo, or this film's ridiculous, or people who made films where the title has a misspelling in it, and some say, this has got to be a setup to discredit other work. And certainly some of that's out there, but I think some of the other stuff is just shoddy research. But give us your take on that.
Yeah, I think we were talking before that one of the downsides of this freedom that you have with internet video is that Anything can go out there, right? So you got stuff that is just, you know, some of it's ridiculous. I mean, there was this one video that was called 9/11. What is it called? Stranger Than Fiction, and they spelled the title wrong, T-H-E-N. And this one was, you know, really, really bare bones, low budget video. It was just text on the screen. And then after a while, they start blaming the Jews. And you're just like, okay, what is this, you know? There's another one where someone made a video about another video. It was, if I can remember the name correctly.
Screwless Change.
Right, no. The Screwless Change, but there was another one that was about In Plain Sight. Oh, yeah, it was called Not In Plain Sight. So basically, someone went through, there's another video called In Plain Sight that is, you know, analysis of 9/11 footage. And someone made something called Not In Plain Sight, and analyzing the analysis and saying, this guy is so wrong that maybe this is disinfo, you know? So I thought that was fascinating. There's this dialogue going on between movies, right? And then you also mentioned there's another one that attempts to debunk Loose Change called Screw Loose Change.
Which is total bull. Yeah. But I mean, these debunking films attempt to... I mean, I like your article because it is truly fair, and you're just showing how, number one, it's a huge phenomenon. Number two, here's all the different strata and the different dynamics in all of this.
Yeah, because there's been other articles written about, you know, debating the points and everything. I wasn't interested in that. As a film critic, I'm more interested in the phenomenon of what's happening with this filmmaking community. That's more fascinating to me than debating who's wrong, who's right, who's disinfo, who's not. Because honestly, I mean, I feel like my personal feeling is that this is like another 60s where 30 years from now we might find out what really happened and what was, you know, what kind of COINTELPRO.
I was just about to ask you, what do you, well, I mean, sure, find out what happened in the 9/11 truth movement, but bigger, put you on the spot here, Village Voice writer, Ed Halter. Ed, who do you think was involved in 9/11? Do you believe the official story?
Well, look, I'm not a political writer, and I have to say that my, you know, where I fall on the spectrum is that I would not be surprised if there was foreknowledge the attack was going to happen and they let it happen, maybe not even knowing how big it was going to be. I can't go all the way into necessarily thinking that. But let me put it this way. If more evidence showed up, I wouldn't be shocked. You know, it wouldn't be like a unicorn walked into my room. You know, I wouldn't think...
It wouldn't be like a unicorn, it'd be like a tooth fairy.
Listen, but I was in New York for 9/11. I don't think anything would shock me that I found out about this afterwards, you know. But right now, I have to say, you know, my jury's still out, and I don't necessarily think about it as much.
Well, you know, the dominant mainstream media, and I know Village Voice isn't really mainstream media, yeah, but it's kind of like old-line alternative media, old-guard alternative media, and I really do like a lot of the work you guys do. It's very fair. Especially on the dust issue with the mercury and, of course, the lead and the asbestos. But just about 9/11, I really think the worm's turned. I think we're winning the fight for the hearts and minds of the people of this country and the world. Hugo Chavez is now going public saying, you know, those buildings came down, looked like demolition. You know, the government could have done this for its police state. It had its war all ready to go. Do you think it's starting to freak out the Bush administration and others who thought they could just ignore us, that it is gaining so much momentum?
Well, you can see the way in which Republican candidates are trying to distance themselves from Bush. I mean, when does that ever happen where a candidate doesn't want to be associated with the president in his own party? That's pretty severe. But I have a question for you, because I saw that you believe that both parties are controlled, right? So, but would you get behind, say, getting behind the Democrats for this election?
I'm on record saying they need to be elected. I mean, if you had a Democrat in control of the legislative, the executive, and the judicial, I would be for a Republican sweep.
I see.
I mean, that's what the founding fathers of this country called for. It's what common sense called for. You don't want one party in control of everything.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it on the surface looked like it was a good group of politicians, it's still dangerous. We know we've got people trying to set up a dictatorship, trying to really set up a real live police state. Houston Chronicle, you know, talking about FEMA camps for dissidents. So, yes, I don't care how bad the Democrat is. Any third party, anybody who isn't in fact, I'm not just saying get Republicans out. I'm saying get incumbents out. I'm saying get the senators who are pro-war out. Get the people like Lieberman who've supported Bush out. Just get these pro-war people out. Who do you think should be in office?
Well, I mean, I'd like to see some balance to the government right now. We've been so out of whack for so long.
That's my view.
You know, that, you know, and I'd really love, I mean, I'm holding out the hope that we could, maybe the Democrats could take more of the House and the...
Well, yeah, but the Republicans have raced to put their diebold ESNS and Hardener Civics garbage. We'll be right back with our guest, talk about his new book.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news, because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you could drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Walter's our guest. We are going to your phone calls here momentarily. I want to move quickly through them. But tell me about, from Sun Tzu to Xbox, war and video games, Ed. Tell me about your book.
Hold on. There we go. Yeah, so this is a book I just came out this summer. It's about the history of the relationships between war, specifically the American military, and the development of video games. And what's interesting to me about it and why I wrote the book is that they actually have a long and convoluted history with one another. Most people don't know this. In fact, some people in kind of like urban legend, they kind of think that video games have something to do with the military or something, but I kind of lay it out.
Wow, and you just gave me a copy. Okay, yeah. Let me see if my urban legend is correct. Of course,
sure.
I've read pieces of this in news articles.
Yeah.
In Vietnam, they were having a large percentage of people unable to pull the trigger and kill enemies up close when they could actually look at them in the face. And so they wanted a way to break off that thinking process and have instinctive shooting. And so, of course, they came out with the pop-up targets, the paper targets, going through the obstacle courses. But they found that wasn't good enough, so they put the seed money into the graphics to develop games to put people kind of in these big TV screen-type simulators with the cop shoot-em-ups. And so a lot of that seed money throughout helped roll this out. And even today, the Army pays to put out complex video games where you're out killing Bin Laden, and it's used as a marketing tool to sell the youth. And when you play video games for a long period of time, you actually go into a state that is lower than deep sleep, and you're actually in a mesmerized, really hypnotized point. Is that accurate?
That is part of the book for sure.
Oh, well.
What I'm interested
in... I'm not showing off. I want to see if
I'm
accurate.
No, no, no. I mean, that is something a lot... What I go into is the actual technical details of how these...
Well, tell us about it.
Okay, for example, in 1997, there was a conference held by this guy, Michael Zaida, who was with the Naval Postgraduate Research Institute. And what they were interested in is that, you know, for a long time, as you said, the military had invested money in creating what they call simulation technology, which most people would just call computer graphics, okay? But in the 80s, the military was ahead of everybody in terms of this technology, okay? But the 90s, when video games took off and personal computing took off, the private sector started getting more advanced in terms of their graphic capabilities. And so this guy said, you know, we have to find a way to bring these two very, very different worlds together, the entertainment industry, the video game industry, even the theme park industry, and the military, and see if we can share information. Some people thought this was far-fetched because, you know, culturally they just work so differently. So he had a conference. The National Academy of Science held a conference in 97. They got together, and it turns out they felt they came out of the conference feeling that they could work together on a lot of...
Pentagon's got so much money anyways.
Well, exactly, and the Hollywood people...
Oh, I can work with you.
Yeah, Hollywood people said, yeah, you know, this would be great. So one of the fruits of that, well, there were a couple of big things that came out of that. First is a game called America's Army, have you heard of this game?
I have, yeah. Tell us about it, though.
So America's Army is a game that was released, it was produced by the Army, and it was one of the kind of fruits of this conference.
America!
Exactly. It's a patriotic... shooter game that is free, okay? It came out in 2002 on July 4th, 2002. There you go. And anyone around the world can download it for free. And when it came out, it was actually on the cutting edge of the technology. It won all sorts of design awards. They really put like $7 million into the development of this game. And it's still very, very popular. It's got millions of people playing it around the world. And what this game purports to be is what they call a realistic view of military life. So you get to play an American soldier, go through boot camp, basic training, and then go on missions, some of which are modeled on real things that have happened. And just recently, just this last week, they announced that in the new version of America's Army, they're going to have characters in the game that are based on real soldiers who are in Afghanistan and Iraq right now, being soldiers.
Maybe you can be an Army intelligence officer and have Pat Tillman killed for propaganda reasons, and then try to spin it successfully where no one figures it out.
Well, that mission has not been written yet. But I mean, this is the thing, though. What you're bringing up is exactly the point, is that they always want to stress, well, this is a realistic depiction of military life. But really what they mean, this is a positive depiction, because this game is created for recruiting purposes. They want to...
It's meant for a 14-year-old sitting there eating his Cheerios and drinking his Jolt Cola.
And it gets one of the big barriers that the military feels it has right now is the fact that you have a lot of recruitment age guys nowadays whose parents are baby boomers who remember Vietnam, and they don't want their kids to go to war. And one of the interesting things about this video game is, of course, because of the technological generation gap, it gets around the parents. The parents don't even know necessarily the kids are playing it. They don't know what it is. They see them playing a game, and it could be any game. But it's actually a game created by the Army to help enhance the recruitment efforts.
And it's admitted that it's for brainwashing, it's for recruiting. But then you even try to tell the baby boomers that. They go, the government doesn't recruit or brainwash. No, we can trust them. It's just mindlessness. But as virtual reality gets more and more real, as, you know, in the next wave, people go to these parlors where you get into these three-dimensional hologram fights or whatever, and then the wire heads, you know, well, if you want this job, you've got to have the implant. And then, well, sure, the old-timers, like, we'll be like the Amish because we won't take it. I mean, that's really where all this is going.
I worked with these filmmakers who did a film called WWV if you go into my blog, which is warandvideogames.com, I have a trailer for it, and it's all about this. It's about how virtual reality is really where a lot of the researchers in the military wanted to go.
Well, notice how James Cameron has just, like, disappeared. He doesn't make things anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, he makes, like, $3 or $4 billion, and then he just disappears. Well, in Hollywood, he has this giant facility. All he's working on is hologram movies.
Hmm.
They see that as the, you know, kind of like before you had silent movies, then it was talkies,
mm-hmm.
and the talkies have been here now, you know, from the 30s right through to now. Well, then once it goes hologram, baby, once you've been in a hologram movie, you're not going to want anything else.
Yeah.
And all these other theaters are going to be shutting down.
Well, that brings up another point, is that another thing that came out of this conference was a place called the Institute for Creative Technologies. This is a center funded, by, I think, initially with $20 million by the Army, and it's on the USC campus. And what it is it's kind of a think tank where they have people there who are from Hollywood, special effects people, they have people from the gaming industry, video game industry, and they have military people, and they're there to develop virtual reality technologies.
And that's what's going to force it. You know, if the old movies are going to be displaced by the internet movie and by everybody being able to make a film if they want to, and that decentralizing it, Hollywood's going to have to go to some new super expensive complex platform. You know, where almost like a movie is like a theme park, where they can dominate market share again. Sorry.
No, I think that's actually very perceptive. I think that is part of the idea that if they create something that's even more expensive that only an outlay of a huge amount of money can produce, that way they can compete with the kind of rise of this independently produced.
I'll go to hologram movies.
Yeah, sure.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. So USC, so this Institute for Creative Technologies put out a game. They produced a game with a company called Pandemic Studios, which is a commercial gaming company called Full Spectrum Warrior. And this game was produced for console systems, Xboxes. Okay. The theory within the Army being, we want a training device that is on that uses the Xbox, because there'll be no learning curve, because all the guys coming into the Army now, they've played Xbox for years already. They don't need to be taught how to use an Xbox, unlike, say, a specialized training simulator, right? So they developed this thing called Full Spectrum Warrior. But the interesting thing about it is that the deal they struck with Pandemic was that when they created it as a training aid for within the Army, at the same time that it was being used as a training aid, it was released as a commercial game. And they claim
that that's also recruiting.
They claim no, but I mean, you'd have to be, they're no idiots. I mean, it's also kind of like, you know, you probably know this as well. The military has a long-standing pattern of interaction with Hollywood studios. You know, each branch of the military has an actual office that deals with studios. And so, for example, let's say a film like Top Gun in the 80s, a studio will go to this office and say, "Hey, we want to shoot this film that has a lot of kind of we want to use a lot of like new planes and aircraft carriers and stuff like that." If that office approves the script. And if that script, by their account, has what, quote, an accurate portrayal of military life, then they will sometimes allow them on there and you get to use the stuff for free. It cuts down the budgets by millions of dollars. And this is a pretty common practice.
That's only one way they do it. The military now comes to productions and says, oh, we want some ads, a product placement, which I call propaganda placement. Let's take some calls. Let's talk to Steve in Florida. Steve, you're on the air. Welcome. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Alex. Can you hear me fine?
Yes, sir. Welcome.
First off, I've called many times. I just want you to know, first off, that my family prays for you constantly, and we will continue to do so for your protection and your wisdom.
Thank you, Steve. Hadn't heard from you about a year. Good to hear from you.
I sent you a letter. You should be getting it soon. Hope you get it. I got in front of me Dr. Morgan Reynolds' article on the Trade Center collapse. You're familiar with that. I've sent that to Ingrid Schleter and Vic Eliason at Crosstalk Radio up in VCY up in Wisconsin. And I've gotten on the radio with them, tried to discuss it, but they disconnected me when I was going through some of the cogent aspects of this article. I've got their website, their emails. I wish some of your audience could email them, because I've asked them over the past year three times to discuss this issue, as well as depleted uranium Gulf War syndrome, and they won't even do it. Ingrid Schleter is the producer. May I give her email?
Sure. I mean, but if one talk show blocks you, you know, you can just move on to the next.
Well, they didn't block it. They just dropped me, and he started giving his conspiracy theory that the government puts out about the falling of the trade centers. They've read this article. They know about loose change. I've mentioned Infowars.com several times over the years.
And you want people to call them and tell them to cover 9/11?
I would like somebody to email them to Ingrid Schleter and tell her why aren't you discussing this? You've got 80 crosstalk radio stations across the nation.
Okay, it's a syndicated show. Okay, sure, go ahead.
It's Ingrid at vcyamerica.org. She's the producer. Or Vic at vcyamerica.org.
Or better yet, folks can just go there, find the show, tune in, and everybody should just get together and call. You know, pick a day and all call in and take over. Tell them you're calling in to talk about whatever mindlessness they're talking about and then cover the real issues. What else is on your mind, Steve?
Well, that station comes on at 10, about 12 minutes here in Pensacola. It's 89.5 FM for your Pensacola listeners. And I just wanted to thank you for the guests you've been having on for I missed part of the guest you had on earlier, the lady about the World Trade Centers, but what I heard was very good. This article with Dr. Reynolds, I've stamped all over it, my Infowars.com, and made dozens of copies and put loose change on it, and just trying to put the word out down here, and hopefully people will wake up.
That's why we're having an effect. Well, your hopes are coming true. Good to hear from you, Steve. Let's talk to David in Michigan. David, you're on the air with our guest. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. How you doing?
Fine.
First off, I wanted to quickly, as far as what you guys were talking about with video games, I want to disagree with you guys on that. I mean, you're kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Obviously, there's propaganda movies for the KKK, you know, in Birth of a Nation, propaganda movies for Nazis and Triumph of the
Will. Doesn't mean movies are all bad.
Right. I mean,
let me just stop you. I'm not saying that video games in and of themselves are bad. In fact, I would imagine that our guest, if he writes about video games, is probably a video game fan.
Oh, yeah. I love
we're just saying that when you play these for hours and hours, you go into an unnatural state of consciousness. The major medical studies have been done. You're very suggestible while playing these games because you're viewing and you're concentrating. Brings you into a very serious area. Where you can be very suggestible, basically, for mind control, for lack of a more complex term, and that there is an attempt by government to lace video games because of their popularity. They're in many demographics, they're starting to displace movies and TV as the most popular media, so there is a huge movement of government control into video games. But go ahead.
I don't doubt that, but... you know, obviously, you can also, if you're in that state of, you know, deep, deep concentration or whatever, you can also obviously learn good things. So, but, I mean, I'm big on video games, so I just want to quickly say that.
I want to agree with you on that. There's actually a lot of people who are trying to do research into doing things like peace games. They call it, like, the serious games movement. And they're trying to harness the kind of, you know, engagement you have with games and see, okay, maybe we can teach other things besides just, you know, teaching someone how to shoot a gun.
Right, and there's just, like, social skills. Like, if you look at the massive multiplayer online role-playing games and stuff, they're incredibly dynamic. Before I get cut off here, I want to talk about the main thing, which is I'm in Michigan, so I can't see this. But, Alex, you periodically talk about, you know, the cultural degradation. And have you heard of this movie, this new Mike Judge movie, Idiocracy, and the story behind that?
It's excellent.
Okay, did you hear, like Fox, like, cut the funding and Robert Rodriguez had to finish the effects?
The film, it's a good film. I've talked to high-level movie producers. I'm not going to say any names. The film probably would have had a medium-sized release, you know, 200 screens, ended up on about 500. That would have been its due. Everything Judge has done has been turned to pure gold. They killed it because they didn't like the image of a dumbed-down public. They didn't like how it made fun of Gatorade.
I know.
They didn't like how it made fun of, you know, toilets built into the easy chairs. And they even tried to claim it was racist, showing the future being brown, and which it didn't really show the future being brown. I think it's a very good film.
I just want to, like, I haven't seen it. I don't know when I'll
Brando.
It, but I'm reading about, like, they say, like, when you go to Costco in this, you know, idiotic future, they say, like, welcome to Costco.
I love you.
And then, the most popular station on the TV is the masturbation station where guys just, like, you talk about how stupid people get with video games and look at all the, you know, the pornography. So it's just, it kind of extrapolates these.
Well, no, that's not the most, the favorite channel is just where one gag happens.
I know what you're going to say.
Just don't say it on air, sir. Listen, I appreciate your call.
Okay.
Take care, man.
Thanks.
Do you have any comments about Idiocracy?
You know, I'm in New York, and it's not playing there, so I actually wanted to see it while I was in Austin.
It is admitted, and of course he heard about it in Michigan. It's been in the news, but it's true. They killed that movie.
Yeah. Well, I heard they partially, I heard one of the reasons that they felt they couldn't afford the possible lawsuits from all the product placement. Have you heard that as well?
Yeah, but, I mean, they're totally protected in product placement if it's satire. They don't even call it Gatorade. It's called Brando.
Yeah.
And you see, the crops are all dying in the movie, and they don't know why. We'll see Brando bought up like 100 years before, because this is set 500 years in the future, set in 2005. Brando bought up the EPA, so they make you water the plants, and the water is Gatorade. And so it shows that extreme. And the cops, it's total police state.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to catch it while I'm here because I can't see it in New York.
Alamo Draft House, right up the road.
Yeah,
you can go right up the road here on South Lamar. You can eat while you watch it.
Oh, I've been there. I love the Alamo. I should also mention, while we're talking about movies, that I'm also here this week for a festival called Cinema Texas.
That's right, Cinema Texas 11.
It is the 11th, and I was a guest artistic director this year. And there's one thing that I thought your listeners would really be into. It's happening this Sunday, and it's part of a series that I actually didn't program myself that's done separately, called Parallax, which is about...
So you're involved in running this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're a big commander.
Exactly. And this Parallax, though, is programmed by somebody else, and it is called The Political Economy of Images. And one of the things I thought your listeners would want to know is that they're bringing the authors of this new book called Torture Taxi, On the Trail of CIA's Rendition Flights. They are A.C. Thompson and Trevor Paglen, and they're going to be here on Sunday at the Victory Grill. You can find out the information at cinematexas.org.
Oh, the Victory Grill.
Yeah, and this is a book about how the CIA used civilian planes, unmarked planes, to bring suspected terrorists to countries where they can be tortured legally.
But we don't call it torture, we call it pressure now.
Right, exactly, pressure.
George Bush now, he runs the encyclopedia and the dictionary. He decides what words mean.
Yeah.
Tell us more about Cinema Texas 11. It looks really exciting. I've heard of it.
It's here. After a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Ah! crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, I really appreciate our guest joining us, and he's the artistic director of this year's International Short Film Festival, Cinema Texas 11. And this is a really popular festival. I've heard of it, and it's incredible. Just the program's a beautiful little bound-style book here. How many different things are going to be at this event, and how do people go to it?
Oh, well, they should check the website, which is cinematexas.org. There's a number of different venues. The Victory Grill is going to be hosting the Parallax sidebar, which is all the, like I said, the political speakers come and some political documentaries. There's also people who are into art films, experimental films. We are showing a lot of stuff there at the Carver Center, which is in East Austin.
Sure, that's a nice place.
Yeah, it's really beautiful theater, and that's the main venue. So, but they can find all the information on cinematexas.org. We have, if anyone's into music, we have a concert tonight at, I can't remember the name of the place now.
Azul, we can find out at the website.
On the website. Yeah.
And we've got a link to it up on Infowars.com.
Yeah.
And you are the author of the book, From Sun Tzu to the Xbox,
yep.
War and the Video Games, by Ed Halter. Real quick, let's take a few final calls. Rick in Nevada and then Joe in California. That's all we have time for. Rick, go ahead.
There's a very disturbing development, which is the co-opting and the wresting of the 9/11 truth movement from the movement by Bush and his backers.
Hmm.
And folks like your guest who are still on the fence or who are still willfully ignorant or stupid or refuse to face the truth out of fear or terror or whatever it is, whichever pasture has the best cud, the tastiest cud of effectiveness in putting out the truth,
are going to be the best cud.
I understand that.
I'm chewing it right now.
We have to get this fellow on board, and we have to wrest the 9/11 truth movement back away from Bush because he started to take it.
Well, I don't know about that. What do you mean Bush has started to take it over?
He came out recently. There's some audio available on the net in which Bush says that controlled demolitions may have been the cause of the collapses of the tower.
No, I know. Sure. Well, yeah, we played that yesterday. We put the article out last week. He made that bizarre statement in his pro-torture speech of last Friday. And, yeah, that's them trying to put back doors in now. Like, yeah, there could have been bombs. The Al-Qaeda planted them. Because even NIST, the federal government's having to say now it could be bombs. I mean, look, they're in a lot of trouble. Oh, now I understand what you're saying. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Joe in California. Joe, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hi. How you doing, Alex?
Good.
Great to talk to you again. I haven't spoken to you in a while.
We're almost out of time. What's on your mind?
Yeah, really quick. I'm really upset about this, what President Bush is trying to do with it that tacitly implies World Trade Center controlled demolition article. And the clip, if you can put that actual clip on your website, that'll be great.
We did. We have two people in a row bringing this up. That's interesting.
On video? No, I didn't see the video. I just saw the audio, but not the video one.
Well, he gave the press conference. It's at C-SPAN.org, and I don't know why Paul just put the audio up there, but okay.
But that would be great because that shows...
Tell you what, go find it for us, clip it out for us, email it to us, and we'll post it.
Backdooring. Also, too, I bought the Terror Storm. I've made probably about 50 copies. I'm making more every day.
Good.
Awesome movie.
Good.
One last thing. Can you make... When I ordered Terror Storm, I got... 9/11 was an inside job bumper sticker. Can you make shirts that say that?
That's another good idea.
Well, that's an awesome thing. If you can make shirts,
I've actually told my people to do that before. We haven't gotten around to that, but it is an idea that's bounced around in our little brains.
Get it done, Alex. You'll see, I tell you, it'll be your number one selling T-shirt.
All right, I'm going to do it. That's it. Okay, sir, I appreciate your call. I really do. And I want to thank Ed Halter for joining us, the book From Sun Tzu to Xbox, War and Video Games. Have a great weekend.
Thanks a lot, Alex.
I mean, I know it's Wednesday, but still the weekend's coming up. The big event this weekend.
It starts tonight, yeah.
That's right. It kicks off tonight with music.
Yep.
Fantastic. Well, we appreciate your fair piece in the Village Voice, and we hope to see more in the future. Folks, get Terror Storm and get the new 9/11 Mysteries video we're carrying at Infowars.com. God bless you. Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
More than